You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I am Alex Sutter from MLB.com. I will soon be joined by Ken Gurnett, who covers the Dodgers for MLB.com.
We are now officially in September and in the stretch run. And as usual, we're talking about the Dodgers being very much in good position to capture this division title. But they still have a few teams to get through, one being the Nationals, who they're playing right now. So as we look at the month ahead, once they finish the series with the Nationals, the only games versus contenders that the Dodgers have from now until the end of the season are against who else? The San Francisco Giants. So they'll go there for three games from September 12th to the 14th, and then the Giants come into Los Angeles from the 22nd to the 24th. Other than that, they're playing the Rockies six times, which is probably good news for them. And the Cubs, who, while they don't have a great record, have actually emerged as a pretty solid team as the season has continued. So nothing's going to be easy, but that's why it's Major League Baseball. Let's bring in Ken Gurnett, who covers the Dodgers for MLB.com. And Ken, as we're looking here, it seems to be that the walking wounded are healing. The team is coming together. The big ones recently, with Ryu being activated and having a really good start against the Padres, and then Uribe was also activated from the disabled list and had a nice game on Sunday. So let's just talk about that a little bit. With everything starting to come together, the team looked largely the way that they wanted it to, even when the season started. So that's got to be good news for the Dodgers.
Yeah, they seem to have survived the storm, at least physically. They seem to be healthy. They're not playing all that well right now. They've lost a few games. They did get that win out of Ryu, which was, that was a boost, at least morally. So now they have Uribe back. They have Hanley Ramirez back. So they got the left side of the infield. They're both on the disabled list. But, Hanley's he's a puzzle to them right now. He really hasn't had a good season. He's played hurt most of the season and has pretty much refused to go on the disabled list to get healthy because he's playing for a contract. So that really hasn't worked out well for either Hanley or the team. But their pitching is now healthy with Ryu back, and Zach Greinke seems to have at least figured out how to deal with his tender elbow, and he's pitched well. And, of course, they got Clayton Kershaw, shooting maybe for an MVP award. So they feel they're, at least physically, they're in as good a shape as they could possibly be for September. And as you pointed out, the schedule is not really a backbreaker thanks to being in the NL West. So they feel they're in about as good a shape as they can be right now for the stretch run.
It's an interesting point because I've always kind of grappled with this, just covering a beat for several years, and just there's just a fine line. And of course, now that it's September, it's not as urgent for a player to maybe go on the disabled list for the betterment of the team to get an actual player who, a healthy player who can actually help the team win. But before rosters expand, it is a kind of a sensitive issue because, in one respect, you have a player who's got a great track record and a great history and has helped his team in the past and can definitely make a difference. But is that player really that valuable if he's a player that's hurt and can't really perform? And I know it's a pride thing with a lot of these guys. And does that make it kind of hard from a manager standpoint? Sometimes they have to make a decision that's not popular with a player. But, where do you see that as far as when a player is trying to push through something and doesn't want to go on the disabled list, and when does that start hurting the team?
Yeah, well, using Hanley as an example, it's a lot easier to make that call in hindsight than it is when, you don't know how serious the injury is or how much it will affect him. And from the manager's viewpoint, I know Don Mattingly has often said he'd rather have Hanley in the lineup for the sake of what it might make the other team do. I mean, they respect that bat. They figure if he's in the lineup, he's dangerous. They don't know how badly he's hurt. They don't know that if the pitcher makes a mistake, he'll be able to hit one 400 feet or not. So it's easy after a month of playing hurt and you look at him and he hasn't driven in any runs to say, yeah, well, they should have gone on the disabled list and replaced him, with a healthy player. But at the time, especially with these nagging injuries, you don't know if it's a day or a week or a month. And unfortunately, in Hanley's case, it's been closer to a month where you play less than 100%, and it does affect the team because you're not that force in the lineup. And the other teams eventually, they figure it out and they start exploiting it because they know that he can't do what he could do if he's physically 100%. And the net result is the offense struggles, and that's what's happened on and off with the Dodgers this year.
And the problem also is when you have a contending team and you're sort of they're planning on being around deep into October, if you've got something nagging, I mean, that's not just going to heal itself if you're not giving it a proper time to heal. And then you're talking, I mean, we're at September, you know, early September right now, and if they still want to be around on October 20th, that's a really long time to continue on with this. And you would think that maybe shutting it down, just getting it right for the sake of October would make a little bit of sense too.
Well, and that's what they did in August, and he was out for 2 weeks with an oblique. But that was after missing 30 starts during the season when he didn't go on the disabled list. So you had to figure if he missed 30 starts along the way, he probably should have been disabled at some point during the season too. But anyway, now they figure after this stint on the disabled list, he's about as healthy as he's going to be. And now it's a question of whether he can produce, whether he puts too much pressure on himself to produce, knowing that this is kind of his not only the stretch run for the team to make the postseason, but his stretch run to get a contract.
And let's talk about a player who seemingly is healthy and just isn't doing much production-wise with Yasiel Puig. So he was dropped to sixth in the batting order, which is also another area that it seems like it would be a really easy thing for a manager to do, but there's all kinds of factors around that. It's a sensitive topic. If the player takes it hard, players obviously, from what I'm reading, Puig seems to be a little bit frustrated, or that's at least how Don Mattingly described it. They've dropped to the sixth in the order, and that can kind of have effects if Puig isn't totally on board with that. Does he seem to be receptive to that, and did you see that as a pretty sound move?
Well, you know, the funny thing about Puig is even though he's a starting outfielder in the All-Star game, he really hasn't been the same player since June. I mean, he had a phenomenal May, and that got him into the All-Star game, but he's been a shadow of himself. He's had only I think, two home runs in the last 6 or 7 weeks, which you would never imagine with the publicity that he gets because he's kind of a lightning rod in a lot of ways. He gets a lot of highlight films for spectacular plays. But as far as being a solid, everyday, consistent player, that's not what he's been for the last 2 months. So I don't, and he knows it. He hasn't complained about not only being dropped in the lineup, but even getting a few days off. I think not only is he frustrated, but I think the team's frustrated because they need his bat. And he just hasn't provided any production at all in these last 2 months. I could see them, using Scott Van Slyke more often if necessary, if Puig doesn't start producing.
So there was an interesting happening a few days ago in the 12th inning against the Padres. the shift has been a popular topic, not just in certain teams, but really with everybody. The shift has sort of taken off, with some teams doing a little bit more than others. But this was extreme. He did basically all of the infielders on the right side of the infield. Kind of looked like a soccer game, protecting the goal in penalty kicks. And just because Seth Smith from the Padres is a Deadpool hitter, and it's the 12th inning, and they want to win this game. So what were you thinking when, I guess, Tim Wallach, this was his idea, and it seemed to be a pretty sound idea, and had a better throw been made toward home, then it really would have worked. But what did you think when that all happened?
Yeah, well, I wasn't surprised because the Dodgers have gone to this kind of fad of shifting this year more than they had in the past, and Seth Smith is the classic example of when you use it. So they would always have three infielders over on that side. And with the winning run on third base, it's not the first time that Don Mattingly has pulled an outfielder in to play the infield because a fly ball is going to win the game anyway. So he had already put in Andre Ethier, who has had some first base experience, and it just made sense that they would do it that way. But I guess because they were sort of equidistant apart in a straight line – it looked amazing, you know, because no one's really ever seen anything like that. And Wallach said, you know, it made sense to him as long as you're going to have the extra infielder in and you're playing him to pull anyway, just keep them evenly spaced and hope that, that one of those balls goes right to him and maybe you can get a double play and get out of the inning, which they actually did get the ground ball. And D. Gordon fielded it cleanly, and then he almost threw it away. And it was a phenomenal dig by catcher A.J. Ellis just to get the one out at the plate, but they weren't able to get the double play, and they wind up losing on the next batter anyway with a hit. But the strategy seemed to work, and I guess you might see that more often when you've got a dead pull left-handed hitter up. I'm sure the Dodgers now will be using it again. I'm sure they hope they don't get into those situations where the game's on the line and they have to get a double play. But it worked, and Wallach did get the credit for it.
Well, I thought it was pretty humorous and entertaining to watch it from a distance, of course. And finally, so we've seen Mattingly has manipulated the rotation a little bit. So he's got his heavy hitters going against, he's got it kind of lined up. To have the top of the rotation go against the Giants, the weekend after this upcoming one. So that has to be kind of nice for the Dodgers to have the ability to sort of juggle things around and make sure that they have their best going against the team that they're trying to beat in the division.
Well, I understand the strategy there. Of course, it's all kind of dependent on Carlos Frias pitching well Wednesday in his first major league start. So, it's not a slam dunk that this thing will work because they could lose the game to the Nationals and lose the game in the standings anyway. But assuming that they get a decent start out of him, then it will look like a pretty solid move because they will be lined up. And in addition to that, they'll be giving pitchers like Ryu and like Greinke an extra day rest, which in both their cases will benefit them. Ryu always pitches better with extra rest, and Greinke with his elbow, it probably wouldn't hurt. Of course, Kershaw seems to be indestructible right now, even though he missed 6 weeks early in the season with that back injury. But since then, he's come back, and you know he looks like he could pitch every 3 days. But they feel that with Dan Heron now, he seems to be back on track, and they're getting occasional decent starts out of Roberto Hernandez, that they feel like this is it's a risk worth taking with the rookie starter. And if they can get through this, of course they need a big start out of Kershaw tonight. And then if they get the start out of Frias Wednesday, then they'll be set up when they go into San Francisco.
Well, the Dodgers are still ahead at the top of the division, but it's only a couple of games. So this is getting a little bit tight, which is of course what fans, everybody likes to see. So thank you, Ken. We will check in with you next week. Appreciate your time.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.